Grace and peace to you this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had a really good friend move away? How did you feel? Not too good, I would bet. I have had some good friends move away, and I have not felt the least bit good about it at the time. I can remember several cases of good friends moving far away and how unhappy I was. But in each case, they tried to prepare me. They told me that they would keep in touch. They assured me that we would see each other again. And they said other comforting things. And I'm happy to say that most of the things that they have said have come to pass. We see our Lord doing that this morning with those who had been close with Him. He knew that His present time on earth was drawing to an end. Some things were going to happen in the near future that would be very difficult for His disciples. He wanted to make sure that they understood that He was not abandoning them. In a sense, He was still going to be around. And He understood that they had reservations on how this all was going to work out. Would you agree with the statement that everyone needs a little help now and then? I don't agree with that statement. No, I would say that, quote, everybody needs a lot of help, is closer to the truth. We need a lot of help in life, in making ends meet, paying our bills, and making decisions about schools, careers, whether we're going to get married. We need help in our relationship with other people. We need help when things are not going well. We even need help when things are going well, because sometimes we get a little overconfident. And then we're more likely to fall. And I suspect that most of us need help in our relationship with God. In our text this morning, the disciples needed help. Jesus was going away to die, no less. The disciples sure were going to need help. Yes, Jesus did die. He died on the cross to atone for our sins. But then He was resurrected. And the disciples were filled with joy. Then they found out He was going away again. We should remember that this coming Thursday. You know what this coming Thursday is? It's Ascension Day. 40 days after Easter. When we remember that Jesus ascended into heaven. But Jesus made it clear He still cared about the disciples and He was still going to take care of them. He said, a helper was going to be sent, who would be with God's people all the time. The Holy Spirit was going to be sent in a special way when Jesus returned to earth. To heaven, excuse me. Now, the original Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but the original Greek word Jesus used was paraclete. And that word we translate in our ESV Bible as helper. Some translations have it as counselor. Pretty much the same thing. The Greek word has the idea of one who comes and walks alongside of you, encouraging you and instructing you along the way. With it comes the idea of someone alongside you who cares. and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is all part of God's plan to provide us with care. And it sort of reminds me of something in my life. When I first learned to drive, my father was a sort of paraclete. He sat beside me and taught me about operating a car, which has to be a scary thing for a parent. What I needed to know about the gas pedal, and especially information about the brake, and things about handling the car and handling the steering wheel. Dad had to be patient because, as many of you know, we used a clutch in many cars in those days. I didn't always get the timing right. So he was there whenever I drove to encourage me, but also to gently point out my mistakes. And things were going pretty well. But maybe I got a little overconfident. One day we were driving home from work, and he usually let me drive and give me more practice. And I went to change to another lane, and I moved the car too quickly and did not allow enough room, and I crunched the fender on the driver's side. I think I still remember us getting out of the car and Dad giving his name and address and phone number to the guy I hit and saying, "Have it fixed and call me and tell me the bill. I'll mail it to you." He didn't want to go through the insurance company. We were able to drive his car home, but it was a very quiet ride. I felt sick that I had damaged his car. And I was sure that a stern reprimand would be coming soon. My room was upstairs in our home, and I went straight up to my bedroom. But Dad surprised me. He came up later, and he told me that, in a sense, the accident was a good thing, because it showed me how easily an accident could happen. And he was right. It did affect how careful I was driving in the future, and I always appreciated that he had handled the matter in the way that he did. There is a similarity here. There's a number of similarities with the Holy Spirit being with us and teaching us and helping us and correcting us. But there's one major difference. The Holy Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is always with the believer. I find that to be a comfort. Remember what Jesus said? He said, quote, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." You might wonder about another helper. But the Holy Spirit really was another helper, because in the Old Testament we had God the Father helping us. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was born and came to earth, he was there to help us. And then when he ascended to heaven, at that time in history, God chose to lead his church by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforts, guides, and instructs us. And he does that by using the Word of God in our lives. And it's by hearing or reading this Word that the Holy Spirit convicts us that we are sinners and that we're in need of a Savior. The Holy Spirit's main job is to turn us away from ourselves, be self-focused, and towards Jesus, so that we might receive the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. He reminds us when we have done something wrong, so that we can take the proper steps to receive forgiveness and comfort. I would hope that everybody here this morning knows that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Holy Trinity. And we not only need to know that, we need to be able to defend that from using the Holy Scriptures. There are many references to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, but there's three main references where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all there at the same time. We should know where those are. We can mark them in our Bible, put a note on the front page. Why do I say that? Well, you know. For sometimes well-meaning people come to our door. And they try to tell us that many of the Christian churches do not have it right, that the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. But you see, the concept of the Holy Trinity is definitely taught in at least three places in the Bible. And any person that does not understand that does not fully understand the nature of God or how He is working in the world today. Martin Luther clearly explains the work of the Holy Spirit in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Now, I went through confirmation, and I wasn't all that gung-ho about doing all the memory work. But this particular section always stuck with me, and I feel it's really important. Luther writes, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. That the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, and in the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the entire Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." Unquote. I think it's just a terrific explanation of the work of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, many people deny this truth, either because they have not been informed or they don't understand it. And we should remember our Lord's words here. What did He say about the world? He said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, quote, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Finally, the Holy Spirit moves us, tries to move us, to love others, just as we have been loved by God. And in this way, we carry out Christ's wishes to love one another as I have loved you. The Christian life should seek to reflect the life of Jesus. And His life was all about humility and sacrifice. And when we seek to help others, the motivation should not be that we get a pat on the back or some other kind of recognition. That's not why we should be doing it. We should be doing it to bring glory to the Lord's name, because we really care about people. Christian love gives even when the sinful heart tries to find reasons not to give. Christian love gives when it's inconvenient and unappealing. Christian love even makes it possible for us to love those who are not lovable. You know, and I know, there are some people that are not lovable a good part of the time. God still wants us to love them. Okay? Anybody can love someone that's really nice, that's close to you. It takes a strong Christian to love someone who maybe doesn't love us or hasn't treated us very well. Christian love is the willing response to the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So we give thanks this morning for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we know, we have been assured that if we follow His leading, we will be blessed. Amen.